today. Visit Otto's BMW Saturday, March 17th and depart in style. The BMW sales event only at Otto's BMW, 1275 Wilmington Pike, Route 202 Westchester, or ottosbmw.com.
94 WIP-FM HD1 610 WIP Philadelphia.
For the first time ever in 2012,
this is 4 for 4 Radio, where the Eagles
into the end zone, touchdown!
Phillies
deep right field, and it is gone.
Flyers,
he's gone!
Sixers,
he just gets down, oh, yeah!
Happen. Live from the Tasty Cake Studios, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Welcome back, everybody. Our 8 o'clock hour. I think I got the answer to that rum runner thing. Be careful with that drink. It's got an amazing amount of alcohol in it.
It does, I didn't know.
It tastes very sweet. What did I know about that? Later in this hour, the public demands it, so I do it once a year. I will offer you my views on NCAA basketball.
And the
Field of 68.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because a lot of people love that. Rhea especially says, big boy, you're going to be talking some basketball today. I said, just for a brief moment, to let everybody know that I have not changed my stand on the dumbest single sports event in America today.
Are we doing a pool this year?
You can do anything you want. I lost to a dog. I'm bitter. On the line with us right now, however, is a man who brings more knowledge than any other guest we ever put on this show. And he's been doing a brilliant job in the past week at CSNPhilly.com, giving you some brilliant insights into lots of football developments. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ray Dittiger. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Ange.
Ray, I got to just start with, one of the highlights of the trip was when I had my laptop with me and I went to CSN Philly, I guess it was Thursday, and you had a column up on why the Eagles should go after Peyton Manning. As everything you did, it was brilliantly reasoned and make perfect sense, and within moments, Andy Reid said, we ain't doing it.
Right.
So just tell me something, right? Could you kind of tell us why this was yet another lost opportunity by Reid?
Well, I think it's just sort of, it's self-evident that Manning is, I mean, he's one of those rare players. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the, probably the sixth greatest quarterbacks ever to play in the National Football League. And, you know, now all this is contingent on Manning being healthy and Manning being able to play. But if he is, then I think it's kind of a no-brainer, really. I mean, he's better quarterback than Mike Vick. And he's more consistent, and he could, and this to me was the big thing, and maybe in the Eagles' minds the biggest deterrent, was he would be the first quarterback that would come in here that would really take ownership of the offense, away from the coaches, and it would become his offense. It never really was with McNabb. It certainly hasn't been with either Cobb or Vick, but what's the thing that we've always talked about with the Eagles' biggest issues offensively here? And it's been, you know, it's been communication, it's been execution late in games, it's been short yardage, it's been the fourth quarter, it's been red zone, it's been all those things that involve communication and decision making between the sidelines and the quarterback, between the sidelines and the line of scrimmage. That's where things bog down. That's where they waste timeouts. They can't line up. They've got, you know, they got too many men on the field. Oh, they don't have enough men on the field. All that kind of stuff that happens. Do we take a timeout? Do we not take a timeout? If you bring in Peyton Manning, all that goes away because it's his offense. It will be his offense, and he will run the game at the line of scrimmage. And you never saw the Colts have those issues because he never allowed them to have those issues. So the biggest problem you have in terms of executing your offense and in those kinds of critical spots, and this is why they've lost close games over the years, you would resolve it by bringing in a quarterback who does it better than anybody.
But, Ray, I think it's really important people understand what you're saying, because this is really a big moment that Andy Reid refuses to relinquish the control of his offense, even if he's putting it in the hands of one of the greatest that ever did it in the game. That says a lot about the current state of Andy Reid. That even now, I mean, this is not, you know, Cobb. This is a master at it, and he would not even consider the possibility of letting that guy do it. I mean, what does that say about Reid?
It just says that he feels like he can run his offense better than anybody else.
He's wrong.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But I mean, if you have the opportunity to bring in this guy, and again, I'm going to preface everything by saying that he can still play at that level or close enough to it, then yeah, I think you got to do it. I mean, if you put him if you put him in this offense with these receivers, and we're assuming that DeSean Jackson is back, and you've got Macklin, and you've got Selleck, and you've got McCoy, and you've got, and here's another thing that is I thought was a real compelling argument on, not that it went anywhere, but a good reason for pursuing this, was you have Howard Mudd, who's your offensive line coach. And Howard Mudd was drawing up pass protections for Peyton Manning for 11 years in Indianapolis. He knew exactly, he knew the timing, he knew the rhythm that which Manning wanted to deliver the ball. He protected him beautifully for 11 years. He's here, and he can, and, you know, and he and Manning can work together on the protections right from, you know, they've already got that done. So for a team that last year felt that it, you know, its biggest problem was it didn't have enough time and it was sort of ill prepared when the season started, well, you'd be hitting the ground running here because your quarterback and your offensive line coach already have 11 years of history with each other.
Absolutely. Now, Ray, I want to frame the next question around a single word. All right. It was when Andy Reid dismissed the possibility of even considering Peyton Manning. He said, "We obviously are happy with Michael Vick." All right. And I heard that word obviously really troubled me because I went back and saw where Vic was ranked in the NFL quarterbacks last year. It was 14th. 14 turnovers by way of interception, 4 more by fumble. 18 turnovers, 3 missed games and 2 different injuries. So you got 13 games, 18 turnovers, 14th ranked in the league. Why would it be obvious they're happy with a guy who was at best mediocre?
It's obvious to them, I suppose.
Is it obvious to you?
No. No, it's not. And, you know, that's, I mean, when they look back on last season and, you know, what they thought it was going to be and then ultimately what it became, I mean, you can take it in a lot of different directions, and certainly we're going to talk about the defense or talk about Juan Castillo and the linebackers and, you know, all that stuff. That, I mean, that's real, and you can't dismiss that. But, you know, I mean, Mike Vick's execution, I mean, Mike Vick's ability to make plays and more specifically make mistakes in critical moments, I mean, that doomed this team as much as anything. It really did. And, you know, that to me is, I've got the feeling, and I've had the feeling for a long time, that they have an enormous investment in Mike Vick. And I don't just mean financial. I mean, they have an organizational commitment to him that they made a long time ago. I think in their minds, within the walls of NovaCare, one of their proudest accomplishments was the fact that they reached out and signed Mike Vick at a time when no one else would. And they're still clinging to that. And more than anything else, they want to win with Mike Vick. They want to win the whole thing with Mike Vick. And just sort of have that moment where our decision, we were willing to take this risk when nobody else would. We desperately want to make this work, and that's where they are with him right now. That's why, for as many reasons as I thought the pursuit of Peyton Manning made great sense for this team, and I thought may have been almost borderline doable if they had really gotten into running here,
right,
was never really in their mind a priority because they are still, at least for one more year, totally committed to seeing this Mike Vick thing through.
Perfectly explained. Nothing to add to that. Ray, I got to ask you about RG3 because the Washington Redskins did an extraordinary thing. They gave up 3 number ones and a number two for the opportunity to draft him. Where would you rank this among risks taken by a major NFL team?
Well, it's unprecedented, Ange. It's unprecedented. As far as I can tell, and I think I'm correct in this. It's the first time that in the history of the league, that any team has traded 3 number ones for another draft choice. You know, we've seen 3 number ones traded for a player.
Right.
You know, I mean, we you know, Herschel Walker, and we've seen that for a player. We've never seen this for another draft choice. So it's unprecedented, and in that sense, it's historic. But it's a huge gamble. I mean, if this kid comes in and flops, if this kid comes in and fails, or comes in and gets hurt, which is also a possibility, and never turns into a player for them, then, then you've really killed your future because it's going to be 3 more years before you get a first round draft choice. But, you know, if you look at it from the Redskins standpoint, you know, they've been in last place in this division for 4 straight years. They haven't really had a quarterback now for a long time. They've tried every possible device. I mean, they've drafted in the first round. They drafted Patrick Ramsey. You know, they drafted Jason Campbell. That didn't work. They went out under Dan Snyder. They went out and they signed Jeff George. That didn't work. They got Donovan McNabb. That didn't work. They tried recycled guys like, you know, Danny Werfel and Brad Johnson, and that didn't work. So finally they decided, look, we need, you know, we need a quarterback, and we need a guy who can really be the face of the franchise. We need one of those kinds of quarterbacks that we can build this thing around, that has some permanence, that it's not just a patch on a bald tire. And so, I mean, they made their commitment that they believe in this guy. And I'll say this, Ange. I mean, there are a lot of times when quarterbacks are coming out in the draft and everybody's excited about them. And I sort of look at them and I say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody's getting a little carried away here. I really do think this kid is special. I mean, if in my rankings, I mean, I've got Luck number one still, because I do think he's really an extraordinary prospect. But Griffin, I've got him up there very close. Now, it's a risk because of what you've given up, which is enormous. But if this kid is as good as I think he's going to be, then I can understand the gamble. Now, here's the next step, though. You get him. Now you got to put better players around him. You know, you can't bring him in and ask him to be your savior and have him throw into Jabbar Gaffney. You know, I mean, if you're going to make this commitment, then you got to make the commitment all the way and have a plan to go out and get him some receivers that can allow him to be the player that you want him to be.
They're all going to have to be free agents, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
not
yeah.
with
Trey. Yeah, I mean, you look in house. I mean, Fred Davis is a good tight end, and they franchised him for that reason. But you know, Chris Cooley's breaking down, and your wide receivers are Santana Moss, who's really on the downside, Jabbar Gaffney, who's a very average player. I mean, they just don't have any receivers. And so if you're going to bring him in, then you better have, you know, if that's plan A, then your plan 1A or A has got to be, we got to get him some better receivers than what he's got. Because right now, this bunch is just not very good.
All right. One other big thing happening tomorrow, the beginning of NFL free agency, Ray. And I can't go through the whole list, so I'm going to just ask you. You're the Eagles, and you have enough money for one free agent. Your pick. Who are you going after?
Well, it'll be a middle linebacker.
Tulloch?
Shocking. Yeah, I know.
Right.
I know that one.
Right.
It would depend on what you were spending. My guys would be either Curtis Lofton, Stephen Tulloch. Or if you wanted to spread the money out, get a little bit of a cheaper option and maybe save some money for another position, London Fletcher.
Fletcher's 36, though, right? You're looking for a very short period there.
Well, it would be a short-term investment.
Right.
I mean, it would be a short-term contract. But, you know, when you talk about what was the biggest shortfall in this Eagles defense last year, it was tackling.
Yep.
And it was football IQ, and it was leadership, you know, and London Fletcher's been all of those things. And plus, Ange, and I know, listen, when next season starts, he's going to be 37, and there aren't many 37-year-old middle linebackers.
Wow.
But this guy, Ange, this guy has never missed a game. He's played 14 years, never missed a game.
Wow.
I watched the tape from last year. He played great for Washington. He really did. I mean, he played as good last year as he's ever played. I just think he's one of those guys who's just, he's just indestructible. And he's not a five-year answer, but I think he would be a one-year answer.
Right.
But, I mean, if you're thinking, and the Eagles don't normally do that. I mean, they normally go for guys that are younger and have a little bit of a longer future. And Curtis Lofton is 25 and has that. And Tulloch has the advantage of having played in the wide nine system, so he knows how it works. If you asked me where would I spend my money first, it would be at middle linebacker, and those would be the guys I'd pursue.
That sounds good. I wish you were making that decision, Ray, because it would probably be a better one than the one they will make. Ray, it's always a great honor. CSNPhilly.com, wisdom on a daily basis from Ray Dittiger. Thank you, Ray.
My pleasure, Ray.
All right, there's some great stuff from Ray, as always. And, this Tulloch, I'm looking at his numbers, and boy, they would look darn good in the middle of the Eagles' defense. In 2010, he had 160 tackles, 111 solo. Last year, not as good, 111 at 84, but still better than anything we've seen. 888-729-9494. Coming back and taking lots of your calls and a couple of other issues we got to get into, too. But stay right there. WIP Sports, right now is 8:16.
Tonight, the Knicks headline.